The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We're going to look at the story of the Good Samaritan in just a moment. How many of you guys, by raising your hand, we're all friends here. How y'all doing? I'm John. Nice to meet you. How many of you have heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Somewhat familiar with it, right? All right, good. Glad we have that foundation laid. Today we're going to look at the story of the Good Samaritan, but we're going to look at it, and I'll be honest with you, in a new way. I had never seen it like this until I started kind of preparing this lesson for it, and the way I thought I was going to go last week, it kind of changed a little bit even more to this week, so we're still going to all get the same stuff, but it's going to change a little bit, and I hope for your sake, for my sake, this was enlightening to me, and this changed how I viewed this story forever. Because let me ask you this real quick before we get started. Again, y'all can talk. It's all right. We're friends. Who were we supposed to be in the story of the Good Samaritan?
The Samaritan.
Thank you so much. I don't know who said that. Was that you, Mr. Mike? Okay, thanks, man. All right. The Samaritan, right? We're told all our lives you're supposed to go and be the Good Samaritan. You are the Samaritan, right? Hold on to that thought. Let's read the text. Let's read the scripture. It's in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. It starts out and it says this. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? All that is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? The teacher of the law answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Good answer, Jesus said. Or Jesus said, actually, he didn't, because that'd be Steve Harvey Jesus. No, never mind. He said, you've answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, we're going to stop there before we get too far into the story. And I want you to understand this. Be careful when you try to justify your... Oh, wait, no. We're going to keep going through the story. Sorry, I forgot about the slides. All right, keep reading. Verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he went down to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went away and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn to take care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think proved to be a man... proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. All right, so it's the story we're all familiar with. We've heard it 100 times before. The first thing I got to caution you and I with is this. Be careful when we try to justify ourselves, right? That's where the story really starts, is in the teacher of the law trying to justify himself. He becomes so preoccupied, in fact, with being right that he misses the story of what Jesus is trying to tell him. He becomes so preoccupied with what he's done that's right that he misses the point of what Jesus is doing. Let me say that again because somebody may not have heard me. You be careful becoming so justified with what you think is right that you miss what God's trying to do. Y'all know anybody that's like that? They can't be wrong. Anybody married to somebody who's... No, you can't. Don't answer that. Whoa, that was quick. I'm like... right? We all like that. Listen, tell me I'm wrong. What's the very first thing I'm going to do? Nope, not me. I'm right. You don't understand the situation. I'm going to explain... Let me plead my case first, right? Sometimes when that happens in life, the very thing that God is trying to get across to us, we miss because we're so focused on being right. Now, that goes on. And again, I'd ask you guys at the beginning of this, who we're supposed to be in this story, right? Is this a real event or is this a parable? Who thinks this is a real event? Who thinks this is a parable? Y'all, we got to work on raising our hands better. All right, it's a parable. While this is a very realistic circumstance, while this really could have happened because there was a road to Jerusalem from Jericho down to Jerusalem, there were thieves and robbers, and this was a desolate road, and people would have likely been robbed on this road. This isn't actually Jesus knows this person firsthand. This is a story that he's telling to show us about people in life. So from that perspective, all right, if we take the parable of the good soil, y'all know that parable? There's a parable, there's some good soil, there's some bad soil, the seed falls on it, some of the seed grows, some of the seed doesn't grow. And in that parable, when Jesus explains it, you and I are what?
Seeds.
The seeds are the soil. One parable were the seeds, the other parable were the soil. So, what we're supposed to do with this parable is we're supposed to find who we connect with, who we are in this story, right? Now, again, I ask you at the beginning, who thinks they're the Samaritan? Who thinks that we should be the Samaritan? You're wrong. I just want to see if anybody tried to justify themselves real quick. You're wrong, and here's why. Jesus is the Samaritan. Jesus is the only one who can show mercy, who can have compassion, who can reach down to a helpless, hopeless, lost, broken world and pull them up out of it. That alone belongs to Jesus. All right, we good so far? Some of y'all might be upset with me and be like, nope, I'm supposed to be the Good Samaritan. Just look at the point that's on the screen and we can continue that talk later. All right. So Jesus is the Good Samaritan. You and I aren't. So if that's the case, then parables are told to be relatable so that people can find familiar situations and make personal and spiritual application from the parable. So if that's the case, then who are you and I in this story? Well, let's look a little bit more at what goes on in the story, and then we can kind of determine who we are. The first thing that you'll notice as you read through the story is that everyone saw the same thing, right? The priest saw a man who had been broken and beat up and left for dead. The Levite saw a man who had been broken, beat up, and left for dead. The Samaritan saw a man who had been broken, beat up, and left for dead. Everyone saw the same thing, right? Everybody good so far? So, if everyone saw the same thing, then what that tells you and I, or what that tells me, is that everyone had the exact same chance to help, right? Everybody had the same chance to help. This is the invitation that God gives to you and to I. There is a lost, broken, beat up world outside the walls of this church. Agree? There's your invitation. That's all you need to know, church. There's a broken world outside that needs to know about God. You all, listen, I could open that door right there. You could all turn around and look out that door, and you would all see the same thing. A world who desperately needs to know that there's a God in heaven who loves them. Turn on the news. Have a conversation with somebody for more than 5 minutes. Everyone will see the exact same thing, and we all have a chance to help. Every single person who's in this room has a chance to help. So the invitation is from God to us. There's a world out there that's lost, that's broken, that's beaten, that people have left hopeless and rejected. And you and I can be a part of that solution. All right, so they all saw the same thing. Now, if this is the case, then we're one of two people in this situation. We're either A, the robber, right? Y'all ever think about that? You could be the robber in this story? What's a robber? Well, a robber is somebody who only looks out for their best interest, who wants what they want regardless of anyone else's care, circumstance, well-being, whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm going to take what I want from you, and I'm going to leave you. Y'all know any robbers in life? Make sure you're not the robber today. The other person, if we're not the robber, then the other person we could be is we could be the person who's beat up and broken and lost and helpless. Right? Okay. Now, spoiler alert, you are that person, or you have been that person. At some point in time in your life, you were lost, beat up, broken, helpless, hopeless, and rejected. Now, if you're not that person anymore, good, the story continues. But if that's you this morning, if you walked into the doors of this church, you have no clue whatsoever at all why you're here, Let me just share with you. If you are lost, broken, beat up, hopeless or helpless, there is a God in heaven who loved you enough to send his son to die on a cross for your sins, for my sins, to pick you up, to take you from where you are and restore you into a right relationship with him, all out of love, compassion, and mercy for you. So if that's you this morning, if you are the broken, beat up individual, you walked in here carrying a burden so heavy, so overwhelming, so completely and utterly incapable of you fixing on your own. This morning, there's good news. There is a God in heaven who loves you, and his desire is to fix you, to help you not be broken, burdened, or beat up anymore. All right. Now, so if we're not the, if you say, well, that was me, but I'm not that person anymore. God's restored me. I found a relationship with God through Christ. Fantastic. We can keep moving in the story, and you're going to be somebody else in the story. But what that means is this, is that you and I get to move on in the story. We get to find and identify with somebody else in the story. Because there's still a lost, hopeless world out there that needs our help. And we all see the same thing, right? We get so far. All right. We keep going. So you're either, we looked at, you're either the the robber or you're the person who's been robbed. And either you have been restored or you are still that person who's lost and hopeless. They all had a choice to make, or they all made a choice. Again, when you read through this, they all saw the same thing. The priest and the Levite decided to walk by on the opposite side of the road. The only one who made the choice to stop was the Samaritan. This is their response to the invitation. I told you that every person in this room has an invitation of God. There is a world out there that is broken and needs to see Christ, God, in you. That's the invitation. Now, you have a choice to respond to the invitation. By the time this service is done, by the time you walk out of here, you are going to respond in one of two ways to that invitation. You're going to engage with that invitation and say, yes, this is my mission. This is part of who I'm supposed to be as an individual. I'm supposed to care about the fact that there's a lost, dying world out there that is going to hell if I don't live a Christ-centered life that reflects him and share that good news with other people. Or you're going to disengage and say, somebody else's problem, that's why we pay a preacher. Not my deal. Somebody else's problem. Somebody who knows more. Somebody who has more time. Somebody who has more care. Somebody who has more compassion. Somebody who has more love. You're going to either engage, own the mission, own the calling, own the invitation, and say, I have to do something in this world. Or you're going to disengage and distance yourself from it and fill your lives with anything and everything else to distract you from the fact that you have disengaged from the invitation of God to help a lost and dying world. Good so far? Okay. This brings us to two characters, the priest and the Levite. What did they do? Did they accept the invitation? No, they disengaged, right? And I've heard preachers preach about how, well, they were probably busy. They were important guys. They had this, that, and the other going on. And that's true in every sense of the word. These men could fill their lives with anything else. In fact, they were so busy, so concerned, they got on the other side of the road, completely distanced themselves from the person who needed to be helped, and went on about their business. Now, just from a moral standpoint, right? There are moral rights and wrongs. Is this the kind of people we want to be? No. We want to be helpful people. We want to be somewhat good. We want to have this moral code that tells us that if someone's hurting or in need of help, we'll help them. And so you know automatically, off the start of everything, the priest and the Levite aren't the people you want to be in this story. So we've got the person who's been robbed. We could be, or we are, have been him. We don't want to be the robbers. We don't want to be the priest. We don't want to be the Levi. We can't be the Samaritan because that's Jesus. So who's left in the story? I'm so glad you asked that question. Let's keep reading. Because only one person has compassion on the or has mercy on him. And that's the Samaritan. The Samaritan has mercy on him. You find it in verse 35. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any expenses that you may have had. This is the igniting part of this story. You say, what do you mean this is the igniting part of this story? Do you notice who the Good Samaritan charged the care of the person with? The innkeeper. How many of y'all ever noticed that before? Every time I read this story as a kid, I thought in my mind, I'm supposed to be the Good Samaritan. I'm supposed to be the one that reaches down and helps people, and I'm supposed to save people. No, I'm not. He's the one who saves people. I get to be the innkeeper who he equips, who he gives money to, and he says, hey, listen, I'm going to give you everything you need. You take care of this person. You make sure this person gets better. You work with them along the way. You help them grow. You help get them better so that they can go out and they can ignite the world. Christ has ignited you and I as believers in him to go out and impact the world. He has given us the power, the ability, and the resources to go out and help save this lost, broken world. Can you do it by yourself? No, but you have everything you've been ever need to do it. This is the igniting part of the story. This is where God has mercy on people. And because God has mercy on people, he gives the charge and the ability to other people. The innkeeper was tasked with the caring for the wounded man in place of the Good Samaritan. This igniting was hands-on, but it was also financial. You say, what do you mean it was hands-on and it was financial? Look at, one, what the Samaritan does. The Samaritan dresses his wounds. He covers his wounds. He bandages them up with oil and wine. He puts them on his own donkey. He gets to the inn. He pays 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, to the innkeeper to take care of things. This cost the Samaritan something, right? It physically meant him doing something. It financially meant him doing something. And it leads me to the idea that if the Samaritan is Jesus, then this. Did Jesus do anything physically to help you and I? Yeah. He left his home in heaven to come live among you and I here on earth, to be surrounded, to be involved and enveloped in this world. Then he went further and he died on a cross so that you and I can have a relationship with God. It cost him everything. But notice somebody else who it cost something. Who else did it cost something? Who else had to get physically involved? Who else had to get financially involved? The innkeeper, right? The Samaritan charges the innkeeper to take care of him. Well, you're a doctor. If I've got a wound one day, does that mean that that wound is never going to need to be bandaged again? No. What happens the next day? Whew, all right, good. Y'all are here this morning. You got to change the bandage, right? So guess what? That innkeeper the next day has to get up and he has to change that guy's bandages. He has to get physically involved. He has to get hands-on and touch the wounded person and fix what's been broken and mended. He also has to get financially involved. Notice at the end of this, any extra expense you have, I'll reimburse you. What's that mean? He's got to do extra. Real quick, how many days' wages did he give him? Two days' wages. How many of y'all, when you get sick, 2 days later, you're better? Takes a little bit longer than that, right? Now, can you imagine being beat up, broken, left for dead? How long do you think that's going to take to get better? 2 days? Weeks? Months? Even, man, listen, some of y'all stub your toe, you're out for a good 6 weeks with a stubbed toe. That requires an investment. Church, this morning, I wonder this. Are you hands-on? There's a lost and broken world out there, and a lot of us do this. I can't get dirty. Supposed to be part of the world, but not in the world. Can't associate with them. Can't do anything. Can't go outside here. Can't do anything other than just stay in my bubble. It says you got to get your hands dirty. You got to change some bandages. You got to deal with some stuff that's messy, that's difficult, that's broken. Church, are you invested in this? Listen, I'm not just talking money. Are you invested in this mission? Is your investment an hour of your time on Sunday mornings? Is that your investment? There's lots of ways to invest. You can invest financially. You can invest time. You can invest with thought processes and thinking through things and helping plan and strategize, because all those things are investments that you're making towards the mission. Are you invested? Are you hands-on? The other thing that's interesting to me about this is he gave him 2 days' wages. Now, if he knew going in that this was going to take weeks and months, why only give him 2 days' wages? Okay, either that's all he had, or because what?
Sacrifice.
Because in this, now, if this is the case, and I give, let's say I my car's broken. Let's say that. It's not, but let's say my car's broken. And you say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to give you everything you need to fix your car. Just, you know what? Here, actually, here's the money to just go buy a new car. Am I going to fix my old car? You want to see me driving a caddy, a big lifted truck or something, man? I'm going to get some kind of monster thing that has loud pipes and everyone all the way over to Oil City can hear me. But who now has vested interest in the care of this person? The innkeeper. He's invested. It required a sacrifice on his part because he only gave him 2 days' wages, and those 2 days' wages, they may have started the work. They may have started things getting better. But now all of a sudden, I care about whether or not this individual gets better. I have care. I have concern for him. And the mercy that was shown to him by the Good Samaritan, who we can't be, is all of a sudden now shown through us, and we have care and we have mercy and we have compassion on this person because we have a vested interest in him. Do y'all realize that you have a vested interest in the world? Some of y'all don't. I'm going to use this quote, and if y'all get mad at me for it, I'm so sorry. There's a world out there that's lost and dying and going to hell, and some of you don't give a damn about it. Some of you are more upset about the fact that I just said damn than you are about the first part of that statement. You have a vested interest, church. We're not living up to it. But this is never intended to be permanent. This is intended for you and I to help care for other people. And as we care for other people, then all of a sudden those other people go and care for other people. He gave him 2 days' wages. He said, hey, listen, I'm investing in you. I'm empowering you. I'm equipping you so that you get this person better. As you get this person better, you help this person become more who he needs to be. And then that person goes out and he gets to live a life. Who you think this Samaritan's going to, or who do you think this person who's wounded and broken is going to remember? He's going to remember the Samaritan. He's going to remember the innkeeper. He's going to remember those people who showed mercy and grace and compassion to him. And then he's going to go and show grace and mercy and compassion to other people because somebody did that to him. The person who is ignited is now given the opportunity to show mercy and given the chance to go out and help the person who was needed and equip that person to go out and live a better life. Man, this story of the Good Samaritan changed me this week. Because I realized that I'm so concerned with being right, with looking at my standard and whether I live up to my standard, that I miss the fact that that's not the point of the story at all. The point of the story is this. There's a world out there who needs Jesus. And we're way too concerned with our own selves. I gave you guys a phrase, a slogan a couple months ago of inviting, engaging, igniting. When we respond to the invitation of God, that's the inviting part of it. The invitation is to engage those in need of help. But the only way to be successful is to empower others to help those in need. So, church, are we an inviting church? Are we an engaging church? Are we an igniting and empowering church? I told you guys a long time ago, too, this. You want to know what a church is like? Look at the individuals in it. What's your response to God's invitation to your life? God's inviting you to be a part of something. God says, listen, there's a world out there. That's the invitation. You can see all around us the brokenness of this world. There's the open invitation. People need help. You're either going to get involved and engage with that calling, that invitation. You're going to say, nope, I'm going to fill my life with anything else but to distract from the calling that God has on my life. Are you the kind of person who's investing hands-on, financially, with your time, with the different things that you have, because this mission is important to you, and you're investing in the lives of other people to help them realize the truth, the hope that you have? Are you igniting other people to live the power that Christ has given you? I desperately think this is what our church needs. But I don't think that's ever going to happen until it happens in your life first. So my prayer for you this morning is that you'll be the innkeeper. That you'll take the work that Christ started. You'll help those who are hurting and lost and broken find the help they need in Christ. And that you'll work with them along the way to help restore them to who they're supposed to be. That we will be an inviting, engaging, igniting people that love our community. God, I thank you for this. Jesus, you know everything. So my prayer is this. Lord, you would take your words from Scripture and let them speak way louder than my words. God, that you would put in us a desire to reach a lost and dying world. God, that you would give us hearts that seek after you. Lord, you end that story with go and do likewise. And Lord, while we will never be the Good Samaritan, we know who we're supposed to model our life after. God, we see that through this story, we're supposed to echo what you've already done. To sacrificially love the unlovable, the lost and broken individuals of this world. God, during this time of invitation, I pray that you would help us to respond appropriately to whatever it is that you're calling us to do. God, that we would walk out of these doors different than we walked in because we've responded to your invitation. We've gotten involved, and Lord, we are ignited to go out and make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.